fairness.
I'll just what's the term when you fail? Vamp. I'll vamp.
I mean, you don't have to because we're not gonna put this in.
Bleh, bleh, I want to suck your blood.
I said.
Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Will Smith? What?
I think that sounds like we're ready. One.
Jaden Smith.
Three.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Jaden Smith. This is Will Smith, and it's episode 267.
I don't want Will Smith on this podcast. He's a bad man. He's a bad, bad man.
Zach, it's the Willennium, whether we like it or not.
Oh, God, it's going to last for so long.
Exactly. Here's the thing. Here's the two people who have claimed this millennium. Will Smith and Al Franken on an episode of Saturday Night Live. And, like, you know, Al Franken now has a complicated legacy. Right. But he was a pretty decent senator until that stuff went down.
Yeah.
And so he did resign immediately, which is the thing I can...
He did. He has come out and said that he wishes he hadn't, based on how other people handle what's... And admittedly, what he was accused of is far less extreme than what all...
Than
most people,
the entirety of the Republican Party.
That's a rough wish I hadn't. If it's like, well, I surveyed the situation and my thing isn't so bad, and so I wish I could have just...
It's
none of this is good. I don't know why we started talking about this, Zach. I was just trying to say...
Yeah, he's talking about the Willennium, and Zach is coming over here talking about Al Franken.
Of the Willennium.
I don't want that.
Now, if I just go around saying the Zachternity, do I supersede all of this? Like, can you just do that thing?
Interesting legal precedent that you're knocking on the doorstep of there, buddy.
Yeah, somebody get Kavanaugh on the phone. He's an idiot.
Like, does Zachternity really work, though? I think Leeternity might work a little better.
You know, the sounds are right there. Yeah. Shit.
But, like, do I want this? Do I want this heat?
Oh, this is going to be a curse at some point. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's not too late to rename one of your children. It is a gender-neutral name.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about both of them?
It would actually work better for their Warcraft 40K.
Warhammer.
Warhammer, excuse me. Warhammer 40K. Yeah.
Well, I don't know why that would be, but I fully trust them.
Well, they're going to overthrow the Emperor or some shit like that, and it'll be the Eternity.
The God Emperor of Man, but like not like Horus did. Not like Horus did.
Oh, boy, you're telling me.
Oh, boy.
Oopsie. What a relatable episode this has been so far.
I'm gonna call up Snitch and Nargle, and we're just gonna chat and chat and chat, and then Slaanesh will come in and we'll be like, all right.
Now, Seth, have they made media surrounding Warhammer?
I feel like there's a whole streaming service.
Yeah, what the fuck are you talking about? It is.
Because, like, that's so much more accessible than actually learning the thing. And if my kids are going to devote their lives to this, like... Can they make a movie soon?
Henry Cavill has a series in production.
Wait, does he really? I thought that was, like, just a thing he said he really liked.
I'm pretty sure that there's a series in production and has stopped thanks to the strikes, which are very important. For everybody.
No, you could still. I think you could still say thanks to, if you phrase it, thanks to the studios being shitheads and not paying people reasonable wages for their labor.
Yep, should talk to A24. I don't have a lot of money. I feel like Warhammer's going to require a lot of money, but
I don't know. I feel like if it goes on long enough and A24 is the only one putting stuff out, they're going to have a lot more money.
That's true. I bet they could crowdfund a shit ton of Warhammer if they really wanted
to. If the five Warhammer fans all gave $25 million a piece.
Oh, dude, Warhammer is fucking massive.
It goes deep,
Yeah, that's why it's really important that Kit and Fisto become a part of the community early.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lifetime of an experience.
Yeah.
Gotta lay the groundwork for the eternity.
Yeah.
Wait, the eternity, not the will eternity, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry that I talked fast, God.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to make sure that we were talking about that and not the Sethening, which is, you know, when the next age begins.
Oh, the Sethening is a good one because it's either perpetual. It's perpetual and unknown, kind of.
Yeah.
Ooh,
it's very ephemeral.
Yeah.
Which, so the current age of humanity that we're in now is the Willennium, soon to be overtaken by the Eternity.
Is this the Bhagavad Gita right now? Are we am become death?
Now, is there a shade of a chance that the Willennium, that song came out in like 1999 and we have just immediately surpassed it?
What a great question that I don't know the answer to. While one of you looks that up, I have a story about Oppenheimer that I want to tell.
Well, wait. Just real quick. I think the Willennium is the time of suffering when you're not aware it's the time of suffering. And then, you know, we can have the what was it called? The Zacternity, which is where you're aware of the suffering, but you can't escape it. And then we have the Leeternity, and then, of course, the Sethening.
Feels like we're in mine now. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Suffering is obvious and inescapable. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, someone quickly look up when the Willennium, what that refers to. But last night I was talking to my aunt on the phone, and she was asking me if I've seen any movies lately, and she was like, did you see that, the Oppenheimer one? I said, yeah, I saw that. She's like, people seem to like it. And I said, yeah, I don't know. It wasn't
That's
really,
a weird start.
It wasn't really my favorite. And she said, yeah, I don't think I'm going to see it. I hear that it's not happy. Like... Yeah. It's not. Like,
Are you aware of...
through this.
He am become deaf, famously, yeah.
She was like 10.
Yeah, the world was just a really cool place for a very long time after that. Yep.
I was like, you know what it's about, right? Why would that be a happy movie?
Yeah, we were all born... decades after that, and we all knew what it was about.
Lighthearted romp that is Oppenheimer. And speaking of Oppenheimer, also there's Barbie and Barbenheimer. Zach, you had a Barbie story because you just went to see it.
Hey, but I'm just saying that Oppenheimer will have the Bikini Atoll, and that sounds pretty fun.
Ooh,
that's true. Right. I do want to hang out there.
Yeah.
Not for long.
By the end, yeah. Great news. Barbie story. Willennium, before Barbie Story, came out November 16th, 1999.
Oh, thank God.
We got it by like 44 days.
Dodged a bullet there, fellas.
Shit, yeah.
Thank the Lord.
Wait, have we said the name of the show yet? I don't think we have. This is faking movies.
Who cares? Hey. Not important.
It's not like we're judged by broadcasting rules or any shit like that, where you have to say,
or an audience of listeners.
We still have an extremely copyrighted song as our intro for fucking, I think, 34 years now.
That's fine. A really, like, an actual famous podcast I listen to just hit their 250th episode, and
less than us,
they just got theme music written for them, and they were like, yeah, we've been talking about doing this since like episode 40 because we've been worried that iTunes and Spotify are going to get mad at us for using this very famous copyrighted song as our intro music.
Yeah, it does happen. Two Barbie anecdotes. Three, I guess. A, movie fucking owns Bones. It's so good.
It's pretty good.
Lee, your review early on was like, it was very good, not life-changing.
I had incredibly high expectations. Mm-hmm. It did not live up to them. And
sure. I think that's fair.
And I can see why people who don't like it in good faith don't like it. And I can see why people who do like it. Now, the people who don't like it in bad faith go fuck themselves. But
I think there is a few of those, unfortunately. Yeah.
And I just thought it was a little too sentimental at the end. I thought we didn't really need it in that way. and it was too Ken-centric. But beyond that, it was spectacular. So
yeah, the Ken bits were a little heavier than I would have guessed, having seen a bunch of things
just,
about it.
We talked about this last time. He is the loudest, brightest character. Mm-hmm. It is easier to make scenes for his story.
Yeah, true. That's true.
Yeah, and he is Knuff.
Man, that fucking tie-dyed fleece. The first thought that went through my head was now, by now, where.
I do love that he sees pictures of Stallone through the years wearing giant mink coats and is like, yes, that will be my
that
look.
That is masculinity.
Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, relatable. I thought the patriarchy was about horses, and then I found out it wasn't, and I didn't care anymore. Like, that's great. That's really good.
That was a very good line, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. First note, there were 5 or 6 trailers beforehand, and at the end of them, I turned to Erica and said, those are all prequels or sequels. Literally every single one of them.
Yeah, there's a statistic about, like, in the year 2000, like, 3 of the top 10 movies were sequels and or remake and or from an existing franchise, and as of, like, 2019, 10 of the top 10 movies were...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think Blue Beetle is not, but it's like in the DC universe. So I was like,
I
don't know.
Is, and I'm shocked that they released it in theaters based on like changing the entire DC leadership and everything.
Oh,
and
right.
since they, especially since they shelved other movies, like I don't. Very like, good for them. I'm glad they're.
Yeah.
Also, a star of not to. I don't want to segue out of your stuff or keep cutting off Seth, which I'm gonna do while I still talk. Mm-hmm. But a star of one of this week's movies that we're covering is in Blue Beetle.
Oh, interesting.
Susan Sarandon's
in it.
Oh,
Susan Sarandon. Okay.
Yeah. I saw a great statistic where it was sort of charting the Batman remakes and sequels and
how much closer together they're getting.
Yeah, and so it means that by 2050, every something like 24 nanoseconds, we're going to have a Batman remake if the trend continues. So,
I mean, that's exciting, I guess.
I mean, spoilers for The Flash, which I haven't seen, but I did read the Wikipedia summary of. George Clooney Batman, Michael Keaton Batman, Adam West Batman are in it. So is Christopher Reeve Superman and George Reeves Superman.
So many of those people are dead. That's baffling.
Mm-hmm.
Oofers.
When my dad was here this weekend and like we were...
I thought you were going to say was Superman. It's like all our dads were Superman.
No. We made a bonfire and somebody asked if they could have a match, and my dad kept responding, I haven't had a match since Superman died. Just over and over and over again, and I was like, what is going on? And I love it. And I'm gonna use it.
Okay.
I don't think I even understand that. What is
it's,
that?
It's a line that Lex Luthor says in Superman 2.
I thought your dad was just so manly that he hasn't physically used a match since, I don't know, 45 years
ago.
Yeah.
That reminds me, I've only seen, as an adult anyway, I'm sure I watched them as a child, though, who knows. I've only seen the Christopher Reeve Supermans, the first two, once each, and it was about a year ago, and I think they're due for a rewatch, because my god, they are exactly my fucking shit.
Yeah,
like, they're so
that tracks.
Earnest. And goofy, like
there's
a sequence in the first one where he's flying with Lois and it goes into her inner monologue and she recites a poem that she made up on the spot about flying with Superman. Like, it's so
that's
good.
Pretty cool.
That is pretty great. All right, Zach, back to you.
Yeah, ooh, sorry, slight diversion before actual interaction that was really fun. So speaking of Oppenheimer, I was talking to my mom, God love her, the other day, and she was like, isn't it that guy? And I said, Chris Nolan? She goes, yeah, I think so. And I was like, he did all the Batmans. And she was like, huh? I was like, that should be a hallmark that everyone knows that's alive currently. And I was like, Interstellar? And she goes, I was like, Inception? And she was like, well... No, I named all of his movies, including The Batman's, the one that Barbie just shattered the all-time record for. And she was
I did
like,
see that.
I feel like I heard about The Batman's. I was like, okay, Mom, sure. Yeah.
I don't know. See, I don't know how old your mom is compared to my mom, but my mom is exactly the same way. So I don't know if it's a mom thing or if it's a their generation thing or if it's a combo or like.
Not surprised that like retirement age moms weren't super into The Dark Knight, I guess. But like, I don't know. It was very around during that time period.
Well, my mom's problem is she was going to go to The Dark Knight Rises premiere in our town with tactical gear and stuff. But then the shooting Aurora happened and she was
not,
like,
No,
I don't think I should. Dress like that to go.
That's weird. All
right.
So my Barbie.
Yeah, she brings MREs to the movie theater, and you know she heats them up with butter, popcorn butter.
Oh, sure. I was gonna ask, what's the liquid add? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we get done with Barbie. Survivalist. We're doing our
not a lady who wears lots of leopard print. She's a survivalist.
Your mom wears a lot of leopard print and a lot of sparkles. That's
a lot of sparkle
thing I know about your mom. God bless her too. She is great. we're doing the post movie pee. I come out, other husband comes out before both of our wives, and he goes, just get out of Mission Impossible. And I went, no. I was like, what, did you? Was it good? And he goes, yeah, it was really good. He's like, what did you see? And I said, Barbie. And he goes, he pauses. And he goes, was it good? And I look him up and down and I go, what is the right answer to this question? He's a kind of, you know, a little, got the sort of outside of my direct town redneck thing going on. And I went,
yeah. He's not a fan of pipelines. Or wait, no, it was rezoning. Was that it?
Yeah, really hates rezoning from that one very specific tiny village. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I decide, you know what? We're going to take a chance. And I go, it was great. And he goes, I should see that. And then I just walked away.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, what a wholesome interaction. Yeah. I expected him to be like, ugh, gross. Ugh. But yeah, he was
like.
Yeah,
the first thing that confused me was a stranger talking to you. But I mean, once
I'm
you
like,
get over that.
I'm like not friend of the show, Kristen, where people just do that to me all the time. And I really enjoy it. I'm a big fan. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone knows. Everyone knows to stay away, I think, is what everyone knows about me.
Well, you've got a real look about you, that's for sure.
That's why I wear bright colors, so people know that I'm toxic. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, your wardrobe is a Mr. Yuck sticker.
Oh, boy, is it ever.
Wow,
I mean,
actually,
I believe,
kinda want that now.
friend of the show Eva once called it a hobo pile.
The way that in which you layer your clothing,
yeah indeed. Yeah. I mean, not anymore, but I definitely used to when I was in grad school and we all lived in the same place.
Yeah
it was a lot of suit coats with hoodies, with dress shirts, with t-shirts, and I was really hot all the time, but it didn't matter.
That's the most south any of us have ever lived, I think. Yeah.
That's
lunatic.
True. Even when I lived in a place that's considered more south, it was exactly the same
latitude.
Yeah.
Well, man, wait till I go to New Zealand, bitch.
Well, it all flips, and then you're very north. It's relative.
Not. Yeah.
Well. And the toilets flush upward, right? The water comes up.
They do. It's called a bidet, and all of us have them.
Friend of the show, Kev, just worked his bidet shit out. I'm so proud of him. Yep.
Literally.
He admitted, he goes, I was a little against it for a while, and then I tried it one time at the beach, and I was wrong. And I said, that's very, very big of you to admit that.
Well, admittedly, my experience was not buying one forever because I hadn't used it. And it's like, it seems like a big commitment to just buy a thing that you never used.
For $32.99?
I finally bought one. It's like, oh, yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
Glad I bought it.
Yeah. And then sometimes you have to go to places that don't have them, and you want to die.
Like my work.
The work is the worst. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Do you come home and just do a cursory bidetting, just even if you're not shitting? Just like, I gotta wash the stink of the work butthole off
before you get, I do anything. Think about it this way, is you've left some poison in the world, at least. At least you did that. If the world couldn't provide you with a bidet, you provided the world with poison. So
poison. There's that, I guess.
Depending on the kind of workplace, people might brush their teeth in that bathroom, so you have definitely caked their teeth in your fumes.
I have shit in my bathroom at work when someone left their toothbrush in there, and I do not feel bad about it because that is a savage behavior. Not me, them.
Yeah. Wow.
No. Brushing your teeth in a bathroom at work where there are single bathrooms with just a toilet and a sink is crazy town. Oof. Mm. Oof. Well, I killed it.
Some people, so Zach's faking a movie. Got
bad teeth. I got perfect teeth because I keep replacing them. But
right.
Yeah, I'm
I worked hard to get my teeth back up to snuff. So you know,
that's true.
Yeah.
So Zach's faking a movie this week.
Now we all said it. Yep, I sure am. The movie is called The Hunger, and Seth's thing does not pass.
Oh, fuck. I forgot.
Seth's thing would not pass a Lisp compiler because there are so many parentheses. They're very nested. There's also a lot of quotes. I don't think they match at all, but we're going to find out.
I was very tired when I wrote that, as I am always very tired. But yeah, let's see.
I did help with some of them this week. I don't usually.
Yeah, thanks. Well, fuck you both very much then, because it's incredibly bad. Yeah. All right.
All right, I got to get through our Shrek talk so I can get back up to it and see
where we're talking about. Man, we did waste a lot of really good Shrek material earlier today. Uncle Half Shrek is what I'm going to teach my children to call you, Lee. Daddy, why do we call him Uncle Half Shrek? It's complicated. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Just worry about ushering in the Laternity, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Our one true savior. Okay, The Hunger starts with Catherine quotes Kathy, close quote, open quote, chocolat, chocolat, ack, close quote, close quote. Double quotes on that one. Didn't close the first Kathy quote. Not sure. Fine. We're already fucked. I don't know.
It's fine. It's fine. Yep.
I forgot the last name. Denu Aute, French sounds, V.
Yeah. So Catherine Deneuve, obviously.
Yeah, yep. Catherine Deneuve.
Yeah. Seth put a bunch more oohs in there, I believe, including the literal parenthetical French sounds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and she's French, so if Kathy, I assume when it's translated into French, it's chocolat, chocolat, chocolat. Ack,
ack.
Oh, that's a long and confusing translation. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What is her name?
Because Kathy says chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. Ack.
Chocolate, no, I got chocolate. That part. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. It didn't seem like you did.
Yeah, it doesn't
so her
seem
last
like
name is pronounced, huh? It's not
Deneuve.
Deneuve? Okay. Got it. Sue, open close parentheses. Empty parentheses.
Yeah.
San, open parentheses, S, close parentheses.
Yeah, San.
So I think you do that. Sue, San.
Sans. Sans.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's my
without
editorializing.
Sue without, you know.
The Latin Sue word without, sans.
Ser if anden. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Sue sans serifs anden.
Yeah, I wish we were further through this.
You didn't,
than
we are. Then, I'm surprised you didn't branch out into seraphim in some way on top
I
of
did,
that.
I did think about doing a seraphim thing, but that's...
You could have done them both. I mean, I think it worked really well as is. I'm just, knowing you, I'm surprised you didn't also do that.
Like I said, I was very tired, but I could have inverted it into Sue San Cherubim, which would be pretty funny too.
Very nice. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm gonna
Susan Sarandon.
I'm gonna do these next ones real quick because I think that's the precise way to do it.
Uh-huh.
Will Danlum Hedefoya and Will Danlum Hedefoya.
Uh-huh.
Lot of parentheses.
Even less,
take my word.
Even less
for
legible
it.
Out loud.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Sorry. And Willem Dafoe. The end one says the Thin White Duke. Oh no, that's David Bowie. That's David Bowie.
That
fuck my butt.
So can you do you want to read off just the cast as in actual words?
I wish that was the thing. Yes. So we have Catherine Deneuve, Susan Sarandon, Dan Hedaya, Willem Dafoe, and the Lord and Savior David Bowie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I have, let's count.
And the movie's called The Hunger, just to remind everybody, since it's been 45 minutes.
Yes. Yeah. I have 7 failed movies.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Rapid succession. Zombie or cannibal horror movie. I think this is the actual movie. When Seth originally said The Hunger several weeks ago, I was like, maybe. But with that cast, I would have remembered, so probably not.
It's not, and you're getting it confused with the book we read in our book club called The Hunger.
Yeah, that's probably right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, you could, like, if you saw a thing on Netflix that said The Hunger and it had like a orange and black kind of cover, you'd be like, oh, zombie movie. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's pretty spooky. You asked for something spooky.
Right. Love it.
Yeah. No, they didn't. Well, interestingly, this is also adapted, the real movie, from a book, but not the book we read in book club. It's just true. Another book called The Hunger.
Okay, cool.
Show enough.
Number 2, channeling my inner Seth. Hung, ER. It's a hospital show, but it's really fucking sexy.
Oh, I'd watch that.
So Tom Jane is in it.
Yep, that was exactly my thing. It was like, okay, Tom Jane, and he lives in that house, and he fucks everybody's wives. Okay, number 3. Something about that disorder where people eat everything that's just like around.
Pica, right.
Yeah, that thing.
There is a movie, a recent movie,
yeah,
about that.
Okay, I thought so. Well, if you name a thing that could be a vaguely horror-ish concept, like, they've made some movie about it at this point.
Probably. Yeah, I've heard very good things about this particular movie. I have not watched it yet, and I will not say the name because I reserve the right to watch it and then make us fake it without telling you what it is.
Oh, man, now I want to watch it. Fuck. Yeah. Okay. That's
fine. But I mean, it could be any word that
could it could be any title.
Yeah, sure. Like Baby Oopsie.
It's just about Pica. Like,
could be Baby Oopsie. Never again, but yeah.
I'm sad that you didn't like those. I know. I really liked.
Lee, we disagree on horror movies. We agree on so many things, but
we do often disagree on horror, don't
it's
we?
It's confusing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, number 4. The Earth is fed.
So weird that you're so consistently wrong.
Fair enough.
Wow.
The Earth is fed up with our bullshit. It's hungry this time.
Oh.
Starts swallowing cities whole, and we go full geostorm disaster movie. The solution is like, we stop driving cars and, like, you know, go back to not killing Earth.
This isn't exactly like the Broken Earth trilogy, but it's. I could see it. I could see it being like the prehistory to the Broken Earth trilogy is something like this.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's true.
Number 5.
They're great books, Zach.
They are.
You should try it.
They're
sometime.
Wonderful.
Number 6? 5. Food 5. Scarcity. Food scarcity is a new problem, a thing that is a current problem. And there's a twist. You'd think maybe it's like a Soylent Green human thing, but it's something else. Maybe corporations engineer some new unethical food source or like feed us insects without us knowing or something.
Oh, you mean like the American meat industry? A new unethical food source.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, I couldn't quite work out the details where, like,
you mean like the American farming industry subsidies, the new unethical.
Stay tuned for more of this. Yeah.
SpaghettiOs.
Number 6, someone's personal journey to eat every version of a thing in the country. So, like, you're gonna eat all the pizza from all the places.
I kind of like this sounds fun.
Yeah, I couldn't, it doesn't have any conflict, right? Like, well, like, I couldn't figure out how to, like, make it a
thing. I think the conflict is, like, just things that happen along the way, you know?
Yeah, it could be, like, a road trip movie or something.
It's more picaresque.
It works better as a book, oddly enough, maybe.
Yeah.
Sure, where you can, like, really get
deep.
Because
then it's a travelogue, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Which are, like, hit and miss for movies.
And they go to eat every garbage plate in the... And so they just
in Rochester, and then they go to,
if you want every garbage plate,
nowhere
else. That's a very closed circle.
It's a shitty.
Although
book.
I hear stories about a new garbage plate location that Seth might know about.
Yeah, this one's supposed to be opening in my town, which is very Your confusing because we're not close to Rochester.
I was going to say, we don't have any in my town, and we're kind of close to Rochester.
And you also have your own terrible piles of food to choose from without incorporating garbage plates.
Sure enough. Yeah.
I know that people like them. I know that friends of the show, Jess and Jeremy, like them. I can't get over the things that are in them to even try it.
Oh, right. Same. Eric and I went to Rochester and we were hungover.
Wife of the podcast?
Wife of the podcast. We were hungover on Sunday. And as I think before that, on Saturday night, like at the last bar we went to, we were like, should we get Garbage Place tomorrow? Like leave in town? And the guy was like, no. No, they're bad. And I was like, okay.
I don't actually know what Garbage Place is. It's like chili. Well,
Seth,
right?
How much time do you have? So there's macaroni salad, and then
it's the macaroni salad just as is a non-starter for me.
There's a lot of hash browns. You put a carb base in. A lot of carbs on the bottom.
I like
and then there's a meat component. You can get white hots, like chopped red hots,
hot dogs.
Yep.
Or chopped up hamburger regional
hot dogs of several varieties. You can get hamburgers. On top of that, you do put like a chili component, and then I think you can add sort of arbitrary things that whatever restaurant you go to sells.
I feel like it's friends, like nothing. Jess and Jeremy used to eat it with like a whole bottle of ketchup and mustard accompanying every bite. Yep. Like just
it's one of those fucking things where everybody that you talk to has a different version, and they all sound terrible. I mean, it's in the name. It's a garbage place.
Also, or oyster crackers.
Yeah, that's a sprinkling thing on the top sometimes. Yeah. Not always.
This sounds real bad, guys. I gotta say, this sounds real bad.
It's horrendous.
I don't live there anymore. But you know what? Regional delight. I actually do enjoy hot brown. I like a hot brown. A nice open face sandwich that's like 2 weeks worth of sodium in one serving.
Oh,
hell yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. Mm. I made Cincinnati chili for dinner a couple of months ago, and Erica was like, this is terrible. And I was like,
my brother loved
it. I don't know. Yeah.
I was okay with it. I talk a big game about how much I hate it. Really, I just think it's like mediocre.
Yeah. It's fine. It's basically you make a ground beef chili and then add some cinnamon to it.
It's closer to like what we would call a hot dog sauce where I'm from than a chili personally.
Oh, like a thing you put on top of a hot dog.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh, correct. Yeah. For a coney.
Which I know it's used as a hot dog topping. It's just like when I think of chili, I think of like a bowl of stew with things in it, and this is just like meat with seasoning in the times I've encountered it.
Mm-hmm. Chili as a word is overloaded entirely too much. There are different versions, and they all have their place. Yeah.
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 There's no wrong way to make it, but I ain't going to like them all.
That's fair. Number 7, the one I was actually going with and then just couldn't really make it work. Movie about everyone one day just isn't hungry anymore. And then we look at the ripple effects of, like, we don't need food production anymore. So that's good. Like, we stop, you know, ripping holes in the ozone layer from, you know, meat production. But also, like,
really cool.
The ecosystem changes a little bit. The problem is I couldn't land the fucking plane. There is no ending to this movie. Like, we get to the end and I was just like, I don't know. I guess it's kind of the same.
Then it turns out that Dan Hedaya was actually a traveler from the future, and it's 65 million years ago.
Oh, we're in the Cephiding. Yes, of course.
We almost watched that the other day.
65?
Yeah, we noticed it was on streaming, but also Bullet Train was like literally right next to it on the You Might Like list, and we were like, me and my partner were like, which one would we rather, we want to watch something stupid, which one would we rather watch right now? It's like, well, Bullet Train has more than two characters, so let's watch that one.
Yeah.
And you know what? I liked it a lot.
Yeah, Bullet Train is very fun. Yeah. 65 is the Adam Driver dinosaur movie?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. That was nothing. Zero.
Yeah.
That movie sucked so
bad. That's what I hear.
Yeah.
It had such good buzz before it came out, but then once it came out and like everyone got to see it, I remember everybody was just like, yeah, this is very underwhelming. Why did Adam Driver do this?
Does
Adam Driver stop paying his taxes?
Yes, he's doing the Nick Cage. He's like, shit, I need $10 million real fast. Yeah,
you know, your thing is it interesting, Zach, that seventh one, because it's like it's kind of a well-used sci-fi trope of X no longer happens.
Yep.
Right.
And there's 20,000 switches and we flip one of them and then what do we do from there? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of that movie where no one gets born anymore.
Or like Men was a very famous A24.
Children of Men is the movie I was thinking of.
Oh.
Yeah. Sure. Or Why the Last Man, where there's only
A24 one, right? Yeah. Men came out recently.
That movie was difficult. Yeah.
I remember like the John Boy's football in the future one where everyone stops aging and mm-hmm. no one dies anymore, but mm-hmm. also no one's born anymore. Like,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know we're having a conversation right now, but I can't, the thing that keeps playing in my mind is that at some point we're going to have a new Batman movie every 25 nanoseconds. I can't get that out of my brain.
Well, do you want to just turn your whatever you wrote into a Batman movie then? What if we did this show for the next 20 years of our lives and every episode was a new Batman movie?
Ooh.
Like, can we commit to that goof right now?
Okay, so 26 Batman movies per year for 20 years.
But only
vaguely one 400 every... Batman movies.
But only we only have to do a third of those each.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we have guests again, it's even fewer. You got to remember, you're only going to have to do like at most a third of those Batman movies.
Right, but that's still 130 Batman movies.
Yeah, over the course of 20 years.
That's true. I guess I could come up with a Batman movie every month and a half.
You could just start reading Batman comics and adapting them.
Oh, like, yeah, that's it.
You know what? Oh my God. The end stage Batman where it's like, okay, Batman and My Little Pony and Barney and friends are all just gonna fucking hang out this week.
No action. There's nothing sexual about it. Yep. They're just friends now.
Yep. Entry 329. We're just going to fucking party.
You're saying this, all of these things now, and it's making me think. And I said, like, oh, you could just read old Batman comics and adapt them. And it's like, they've been making Batman comics since the 50s, I think.
Yeah.
40s, even. And why are all the adaptations about like three Batman comics? It's Dark Knight.
Yeah.
It's Long Halloween. It's Year One. That's it. That's all we ever get.
It's true. Yeah. Well, also I read something somewhere. Sandman. Sandman is in a new one or was, I forget. But the thing I read was they never used him because the CGI wasn't good enough. They were like, well, we can either make Sandman like a guy who just stands there, or we have to wait for CGI to be good enough so that we can Sandman.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
but there's a lot you can do.
Sure.
It's like, there was just this whole like year-long run of Batman and fucking Catwoman gonna get married, and then she, spoiler, leaves him at the altar, and Joker was gonna be Batman's best man. Like, you can make a movie out of that. Yeah. I feel like we're at a point in Batman saturation where like you don't need to like set anything up. It's just like,
okay,
Batman's doing a thing, guys.
We've got one. We need 399 more. Perfect.
I want to see him fight a lava monster.
Oh.
398. Let's do it.
So, yeah, by 20 years from now, our show is just welcome to faking movies. Batman loses his keys.
Batman took
see
a
you
weird...
next week.
Batman took a weird shit at Seth's work today, and he was sad about it.
Uh-oh, but the Joker was brushing his teeth.
Now, would Batman, if he has to take a shit in public, would he take everything off except for the cape and cowl?
Oh, does Batman have the original romper? Oh, man.
Interesting.
Just, like, opening up the stall door, and there's just a guy sitting there in a cape and cowl, and it's like, excuse me, like,
I wonder if there are snaps at the bottom.
Feels like that would get in the way of all the tactical bits, but
should be like a onesie where there's snaps at the bottom and snaps at the top in case there's a blowout.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Am familiar with this failure mode. Yes.
Small children.
What about Batman babies? Like Muppet babies, but for Batman.
Oh my God, we could do 100 eps on that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Batman
babies.
Perfect.
My partner always, every once in a while, we're talking about crazy movie ideas or something, or just, and I'm like, man, I think it'd be really funny if they did like a prequel series, but it was all of them as babies, and it was just, and then she'll finish my sentence, their adult head on baby bodies. I know, you pitch this all the time with everything. I don't know why I think that's so funny, but I do.
I mean, it is. Yeah, fuck.
Oh, boy.
So what was your successful?
Yeah, yes. Number eight. Literal chronological number eight. All right, here we go. We open on a young Susan Sarandon sitting at a desk looking tragically bored. Mm-hmm. We get some establishing scenes where we get a look at her extremely routine and boring life. Finally, she meets up with some girlfriend for drinks after work, explains that she has this hunger for something bigger. She knows there's more out there. She just has to find it.
So like a yard of beer instead of like a cocktail or?
Oh, well, one of those big tubes that you like drink with your friends or guess you don't have to if you're like a drunk. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
You could drink it yourself.
One time I went to the bar with my friend Kyle and he ordered one of those towers of beer.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to go pour a glass, he's like, "What are you doing?" And I laughed. And then he looked at me and he's like, "No, I'm serious. This is mine." And he did drink the whole thing.
I'm surprised they didn't kick him out. I think there's usually rules about that. But
and then we went to a... That was the first stop of the night. We had to leave to meet people.
Oh, I thought we had to leave because we were asked to leave.
No. That was like, hey, meet me here. Let's have a drink before we meet everybody.
Technically one drink, I guess.
Yeah. It is technically one drink. So Susie wants a yard. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she does. So yeah, she's looking for the thing. So in the tradition of Good Will Hunting, Into the Wild, Wild, Almost Famous, Sweet Home Alabama, Lady Bird, Finding Nemo, What's Eating Gilbert Grape, Fight Club, Virgin Suicides, The Beach, Three Billboards, American Beauty, Eat, Pray, Love, Pursuit of Happiness, Truman Show, every modern Disney movie, Silver Linings Playbook, As Good as It Gets, Big Fish, Barry fucking Lyndon, The Wizard of Oz, and goddamn Star Wars, we're going to try to satiate Susan Sarandon's The Hunger.
I like your list. I'm going to point out that a lot of those really don't have very similar journeys.
It's just people go somewhere. Yeah, it's people like, I hate this thing. Is there a different thing? Can I
thing? Okay.
Fair enough.
So she, man, it took a lot of Googling to get all those. I had like half of them and I was like, more.
what number did you reach internally? And then you felt, I can go to sleep.
I don't know. Once I started opening tabs on like, Googling like, movies where people do a thing. And I was like, that's not it. It took a while.
It's like me when I look up old wars, it's like, I guess I'm going to learn all about this tonight.
Yep. Yeah. Gotta watch fucking 12 hours of a Ken Burns documentary. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she starts off easy at work the next day. Catherine is a senior person at her work, but harbors a dark passenger. They're already friendly enough, but Sue has seen some things at work that indicate that something's going on there, sort of in her personal life. Turns out Kathy is one of those...
A fiendish thing.
Yeah, exactly. Kathy is one of those never say no to anything people... much like, I guess, the Jim Carrey movie Yes Man. On the surface, this seems spontaneous and fun and just what Susan needs, but quickly she realizes that it's exhausting and gets into weird, kind of seedy situations and clearly like isn't the answer to her problem at this point.
Honestly, that is also how Yes Man plays out.
Yes, exactly. It's like, oh, this is idealistic and it's not the thing. Yeah.
Then he realizes, oh, wait, Yeah, this is a good thought exercise, but there's limits.
Balance is critical. Yeah.
Just like that scene in Highlander where Sean Connery's teaching Christopher Lambert how to balance.
I don't think it's like that at all, but I've never seen Highlander.
Yeah,
so.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. I also don't think it's like that, but that's okay.
Yeah. Throughout these escapades, perhaps at a casino or something, she meets Dan Hedaya, who makes it quickly clear that he's extremely rich and takes a fast liking to Susan. She indulges this at first, somewhat willingly, ignoring that she's found herself in a bit of a sugar baby, sugar daddy situation. The indulgent lifestyle is fun for a bit, but ultimately the dynamic is unsatisfying and a bit hollow. Like, there's nothing actually there, turns out. Right. It's just, like, the financial thing. So she realizes this also isn't the thing. Next, we meet Willem, open quote, in the Seth parlance.
Yeah.
No, that cock is too big. It's distracting, close quote, Defoe. Uh-huh. And
I know that story, I know we've repeated that story so many times, and it goes around. I've heard it so many different places. Have we ever stopped to verify if Lars von Trier ever said that?
Never. I would. I don't want to. No. Yeah. I want that to live in our minds.
Okay.
Yeah. He is unsurprisingly an eccentric artist type who's somewhat reclusive, impossibly aloof. He's living in a warehouse loft kind of thing that no one actually lives in, but in every movie someone seems to be. He's always saying things that teens would think is super deep, but actually ranges from meaningless to like downright absurd. Like, know this archetype.
Cool guy in a movie.
Yeah exactly. Mm-hmm. She's beginning to realize that this flip-flop from one extreme to another isn't quite the right fit ever. Mm-hmm. But there does seem to be like pieces of lessons to be learned from each individual like new character that we meet.
Okay.
So this
has turned into real Eat, Pray, Love, where like there's no one answer to fulfillment. It's about a balanced life.
It's kind of like those fucking 27 movies I just listed. Yeah.
Did you mention Eat, Pray, Love in that list?
I thought I did. It was in there at some point.
I don't know if you did or not.
Yeah. Oh, it is in there. I don't know if I said it. Okay. Oh, I think I was trying to read fast and I might have skipped an entire line.
No. I believe you. I was just, I thought it would, it struck me as being really funny if you had named all these movies and then the one that is closest to what you're doing was not on the list.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So David Bowie is our final boss, playing essentially himself as he is wont to do. Mm-hmm. A seemingly all-knowing, omnipotent
poor Tesla.
Super. He does good at Tesla. Yeah. Omnipotent, supernatural being of calm, that Susan meets at a bar yet again. Yeah. No, that was the other one, wasn't it?
That was in Inception. That was in that movie in The Prestige.
Oh.
He plays Tesla in The Prestige.
What was the other one with Ed Norton? I thought he played the Tesla.
That's The Illusionist.
Yeah, that's called The Magical Mystery Man or whatever.
It's called The Illusionist. Yeah. It is a different movie. Yeah.
Okay.
They came out like the same week.
Yeah, like a month apart. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Meets Bowie at a bar, having failed to find her one true purpose in life. They have the conversation everyone expects here. Initially, it seems like these people have all figured it out, but in the end, A, they're not all that happy. They're just playing some role that they go so deep on that it seems like they sort of get trapped in, and there's like really no other option. It's just like, well, I guess this is my thing now. And B, there is no thing. This is the Eat, Pray, Love, right? Like chasing that concept of like, there's one thing that's going to make me happy will continue to leave you fundamentally unhappy. You just have to sort of do what feels right and not try to force life in one direction. Like, just let things happen and you'll eventually sort of find something.
Zach, would you say that this is the turd?
No, that would be The Prestige, probably. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is The Prestige, isn't it? Yeah.
Again, I will remind everyone, I saw the Barbie movie yesterday, and that weighed heavily on the thing that I wrote today.
Sure. I mean, we've all been influenced. Listen, there's no new art anymore. Like,
yeah. Well, that's why I got to the end, and then I went back and made that entire list of movies, because I was like, oh, this is nothing. Yeah. This has been done 800 times.
No, it's a good lesson. That's why, like, you know.
It is. And yeah, I mean, yeah, thinking of, like, teenage me, I was like, I wish somebody would have sat me down and been like, stop. just exist. It's fine. Yeah. So, yeah, there it is.
Oh, that what you're done.
Yep, that's it.
Oh, I really,
sorry.
I really wasn't
disappointed you're done. I just didn't realize you had finished.
I ruined your moment by saying the pledge.
Oh, no. Totally fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But they do fuck, right?
Yeah.
Bowie?
Like, that's the last scene of the movie?
I think everyone who has ever met Bowie has fucked him. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
It would have been weird and alien. Like, not a fucking that I'm used to.
Oh, you mean like in The Man Who Fell to Earth, where he's
exactly
weird and
like
alien.
That. Yes. Yeah. They're making a TV show out of that, I think.
Yeah. They made a TV show. Oh. It exists.
Oh. I feel like it didn't go so well. But,
is it Chiwetel Ejiofor? I can't remember.
It might have been.
I don't know anything about
it.
That
could be cool.
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, it's a novel. Like, the movie's based on a novel, so there might be way more in the novel that they didn't do in the movie. I don't know. I just don't care. Like,
sure.
I'm not going to get, like, Fubo to watch The Man Who Fell to Earth TV show. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Also, like, if Bowie plays a thing, why would you be like, hey, let's try that again?
I'm going to do it better.
Yeah. It's like confusing. Somebody heard a Beatles song and they were like, well, what about my version?
Well, I mean, there is one, at least one example of that actually working out, and it's Joe Cocker.
Oh, okay. Mm. Well, I don't like either of those people. Things. Stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
We're not going to relitigate this, which is a phrase I Hold have on. To use a lot.
Let me check my calendar. How long has it been since we've litigated the Beatles?
Oh, boy.
I'm seeing 5 months. All right, we'll give it a month. All right. Yeah, that's it. That's the whole thing.
There's a bunch of novels involved with this sack. So.
Oh, interesting. Not the really. One that we read for book club, apparently. Okay.
No.
No.
All right, Zach, you want to hear the IMDb one sentence summary?
Sure do, bud.
Oh, boy. There's parentheses in this.
Neat. Oh, you don't fucking say. Good luck.
Yeah. I mean, actually, it's not bad. So we have The Hunger. Or The Hunger, as you would say normally. It's a 1983 film. I don't know why you would ever use a French accent with it other than the...
Yeah, I guess because Catherine Deneuve is in it.
Catherine, yeah.
All right, so a love triangle develops between a beautiful yet dangerous vampire, Catherine Deneuve,
yeah.
Her cellist companion, David Bowie, and a gerontologist, Susan Sarandon.
Man, I had 8 fucking ideas and vampire somehow wasn't one of them. God,
I know,
damn
right? I want to point out that that is like a very misleading description of what goes on in this movie.
Yeah, I agree.
Happens a lot, I think. Yeah.
Can I want to relay to you some of the voiceover from the trailer to this movie.
Okay.
So over the course of the trailer, you know, like it's an 80s movie. It's an 80s trailer, so there's voiceover.
Yeah.
And
David You're Bowie like, loves to play the cello, but he's got what? Himself in a pickle. Uh-oh, his girlfriend's a vampire.
Watch this
ski shit happening, but yeah. When he finds a solution, which is talking to Susan Sarandon, or I mean, what's her name, Sarah? Something?
I don't know.
She's gonna solve his vampiric problem,
the stakes are certainly high. Stakes, yeah.
And then you see his dong in the trailer.
You don't
love that.
I don't remember seeing his dick in this movie.
Yeah, you don't get to see it.
Okay, so shame. So the trailer like is very much like the movie. It's very vibey. It's all vibes.
Yeah, it's all
vibes. And in fact,
early 80s, of course.
Yeah.
Look at this can of beer I'm drinking. It's hard to see because of the... Yeah.
I wish there was a face, not a horse on that can of beer. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's a cool, like, it looks like Colorado style. Yeah. It's all pretty and everything. The beer itself tastes like nothing.
Yep.
And I feel that way about this movie.
That's true.
It's okay. All style and no substance.
That's true.
83, I mean, that makes sense.
Well, it also has a director particularly that would be
I'll get into it. There's like a whole thing. Yeah, but
yeah.
Okay. What I wanted to get at is the trailer. Mm-hmm. And I've wanted to watch this for a long time, partially because of that description that talks about that's like, oh, a love triangle with Bowie, Catherine Deneuve, and Susan Sarandon. That sounds like a hot movie.
Yeah,
it sure does.
Here's a sequence of lines from the trailer. The timeless beauty of Catherine Deneuve, the cruel elegance of David Bowie, and the open sensuality of Susan Sarandon. And it's like, I'm watching this trailer, and it's like, yeah, I've already got my pants undone.
Yeah.
Let's get going.
I am like, rock hard right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really misleading.
Yeah, it is.
Really misleading.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay. I'll give you a slightly longer guy.
I feel like David Bowie isn't even in half of the movie.
I think he's gone by like minute 20.
No. Because I just watched it. He sticks around for the first hour.
Oh.
He is around for the first hour, and then I really stopped paying attention.
83, right, well, he had some shit going on. Like, you can't get David Bowie for that long in 1983, I think.
A slightly longer.
He apparently was
this.
Super excited about it, but then Weird. Was like, oh.
Maybe he liked the book.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't know.
Sure.
Anyway,
yeah.
Lee, continue.
Slightly longer. Deneuve and Bowie are both vampires.
Yes.
So that already there's something. It's just that she's the maker vampire, so she's more powerful. Anyway,
oh, yeah.
He is.
She's the vampire Lestat of the situation.
Right.
Right. Yeah. He is aging rapidly. And she is clearly grooming a new companion, which is a young girl that they give music lessons to. Mm-hmm. While this is going... No. Yes. No.
Oh.
No.
Hmm.
Another person. She ended up being a soap opera actress. I don't
know.
Yeah,
I don't... Anyway. I don't think you'd know her. Her name was
so,
Beth
while
Ehlers.
This is...
No.
Yeah. While this is going on, Sarandon is a gerontologist. She's working on solving aging, basically.
Mm-hmm. In primates.
And
yeah.
They see, like, a thing on the news about her work. Bowie goes to see her to, like, look at me, what's going on. She thinks he's just a crazy person because lots of crazy people come in. Mm-hmm. She sticks him in the waiting room for a while, and he ages, like, 30 years.
Yeah, she says
she's a literal vampire, right?
Yeah, so his whole thing is he's just starting to break down. You know, the first 20 minutes of the movie, he's doing awesome. He's sexing at people. He's biting at people. He's being a cool, sexy vampire.
We can get into the scene-by-scene stuff after we get through the story.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Fuck me, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So she doesn't believe him. He sits there, ages a bunch, gets mad at her, leaves, and she's like, oh, fuck, something crazy's going on. Tries to find him. In the meantime, he has essentially withered down to nothing and not died, it turns out. And he kills the person that Catherine Deneuve is trying to turn into her new new companion.
Yeah.
Because he thinks, like, oh, if I feed, it'll fix it, but not really.
Okay, I was going to say, very quick question. What is the vampire rule set here? Is it
once a
he
week
hasn't
you have
fed?
You have to feed once a week.
And if you don't, you age quickly? That's
well,
the
and it turns out that only Deneuve doesn't age. It's like all of her people, all of what we find out is all of her
companions.
She
promises each companion you'll live forever. And then that's
they
not
do live
actually true.
Forever.
They live forever, but they reach a certain sell-by date, and they like just rapidly deteriorate when they reach whatever threshold, which is not clear. And David Bowie just reached that.
So it's an MLM of vampires, essentially.
Kind of, yeah.
It is, yeah, yeah. Okay. So they like there's a scene where she's putting Bowie in a casket, and she takes it up to the attic in this beautiful New York brownstone they live in. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you hear all these, this like moaning and wailing. And she's like, this is David Bowie. Take
John.
Care of him. John, this
John,
is John.
Yeah,
I
like,
love,
be nice to
I
him.
I love
guide
you all.
Him. Yeah.
Like,
and
yeah.
It's okay. Like literally dozens of her previous lovers because she's been around since ancient Egypt.
Okay. So, yeah, we find out there's a flashback where we find out she's been around since ancient Egypt. Mm-hmm. And they wear Ankh necklaces that have knives in them, and that's like how they kill people with their little Ankh knives.
Yeah, they don't have cool
so,
teeth.
Sarandon finds Deneuve, and Deneuve seduces her and starts turning her into a vampire. And Sarandon don't want that. She pieces out, and her like kind of shitty boyfriend, who's another scientist, is like, what the fuck's going on? And then like is also worried about her. Mm-hmm. And so like their science lab is like, look at her blood. Oh, there's two bloods in here fighting each other. And she goes back to try to find out what's going on. And then like her guy shows up and Deneuve murders him.
No. She murders him.
Oh,
because
Sarandon murders him.
She's so hungry. Like she's clearly like has become in the metaphor an addict, and
right, yeah, it's a very it seems pretty, like at times it's picking and choosing between disease and addiction,
yeah.
And it doesn't know which it wants.
Mm-hmm. All of the Sarandon quotes are like it's definitely about addiction.
Yeah.
So, regardless, she
but also
she
the stuff about
yeah.
The stuff about aging is like, well, we're treating aging as a disease.
That's
and
true.
It's like, oh, her blood is diseased now, and like
yeah.
You know, yeah,
okay.
And she has track marks from where Catherine Deneuve fed on
that,
her,
that
and like
takes
yeah,
us back to addiction, yeah. Right? It's all over the place. It's a mess.
It flips and flops.
Yeah.
So eventually, she feeds Catherine Deneuve her own blood, I guess, which
weakens.
Removes Catherine Deneuve's powers and makes what we find out in the last scene, it makes Sarandon the like main maker vampire.
Okay.
And as Deneuve is rapidly aging in a scene that Seth said wow, this rapid aging scene is really taking a long time.
It took so fucking long. Oh my god.
All of her desiccated lovers come after her and like destroy her basically, and they all fall into dust.
Yeah, so they're all gone now. And then she's the final scene, right?
They take her out.
The final scene is her in London now, is Sarandon in London now with two concubines of sorts. Hidea, by the way,
cycle starts over kind of thing,
right?
Yeah, cycle starts over,
except Catherine is still alive in a casket.
She's in a casket moaning and calling out for Sarandon.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Dan Hidea is a police detective looking for the young girl that Bowie kills. He's in like two scenes just to like
he's root also us in the world. Pretty hot, I gotta say.
He looks great. Yeah, he looks really good.
1983? I buy that.
And Willem Dafoe is just a guy who, like, Susan Sarandon's using a payphone. He's like, come on, lady. That's it. That's his role.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's him and some other, like, character actor. I can't remember whom. But
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's the movie.
Yeah,
that sounds kind of bad. But it was also before all of the modern day vampire stuff,
well,
including
like
Interview with and everything.
Right there,
there are.
Well, not the novel though.
There are influences clearly from the Anne Rice's Interview with the Vampire. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. My impression of this movie is, well, first of all, I feel cheated because I was getting ready for some hot sex, and I guess there is one or two okay sex scenes.
You were thinking Lovers Left Alive. Tilda Swinton is the female David Bowie, so like
Tilda Swinton. Okay, so Lovers Left Alive feels like the good version of this movie to
me. Agreed.
Or like 100%. Or the version of this movie that is for my sensibility.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is like I said to Seth, this is a full-on vibes movie, and I think I just don't like vibes movies at this point in my life at this moment. Like, for something about them is not working.
I don't know. Like, I'm trying to... What other examples of vibes movies do you have?
Well, now you put me on the spot. Well, I feel like,
like...
No. Oh, like Tenet is a vibes movie.
Okay.
Like,
heard. Yeah, I don't like that.
I'm not into Tenet.
Is that guy?
Like,
is that by that guy that made that Batman movie? That one.
I think it is.
We should ask your mom.
Yeah, I was playing my mom in that scene.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I feel like it's a term that has been.
You
getting
think
thrown
Tenet is a
recently.
Vibe movie? I think Tenet is just a bad movie.
Literally typed vibes movies into Google, and the first video that popped up is Tenet and a celebration of vibes movies.
Oh,
so I'm not the one who came up with
Tenet's
it.
Tenet's not a vibe, it's just fucking inscrutable and bad.
You know what else is like
what about
like,
Jerry?
That is a vibe movie. That is definitely a vibe movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A vibe movie I like is The Big Lebowski. I think that's a vibes movie.
Because
a lot of stuff happens, but none of it matters. I think that's the key, is a lot of stuff happens, but none of it matters.
Sure. Okay.
Interesting. Okay. Like Rookie of the Year. Or The Replacements.
A lot of stuff does happen, and they all matter. The sports movies, everything matters.
Those are very plot-driven movies. Yeah.
Oh, no, but
somebody has to win or lose at the end of all those movies.
Yeah, at the end of The Replacements, the Washington Sentinels didn't get any endorsements for sneakers or soda pop.
Right, I forgot about the weird voiceover at the end.
Right, from Gene Hackman. They made it to the playoffs, but it doesn't matter after that. So like it's
now. Do you think
the
Gene Hackman movie
games.
Welcome to Mooseport is a vibes movie, or
God, starring Ray Romano?
No, is the Gene Hackman movie?
I want to be the mayor of this shitty town. I don't care that Gene Hackman used to be president. I'm the mayor of Mooseport.
Is the Gene Hackman movie Enemy of the State?
Gates?
Starring Will in his outside of the Willennium.
Sure, pre Willennium Will Smith.
I think post.
Well, so the thing about that movie is it's kind of a stealth sequel to The Conversation, which is a vibes movie.
Okay.
It is not a... What the fuck are you talking about? How is that a stealth sequel to The Conversation?
Because Gene Hackman plays the same character.
A weird conspiracy guy?
Kind of. Have you ever seen The Conversation?
Yeah. No, I haven't.
Yeah, you're right.
What about Hoosiers?
We do The Conversation on this? That's a thing.
Is Hoosiers a vibe?
Is Hoosiers a vibe movie? No, I don't think so. I don't think sports movies are vibe movies because they are very clear set goals.
I think that's probably true. Mm-hmm. That is probably true.
But hey, Barry Lyndon.
Barry Lyndon might be the vibe movie.
There's a lot that happens and none of it matters.
Yeah.
God. I mean, and that's explicitly the message of the movie.
Extremely stylistic, and you either do or do not like that thing. That's
all right, I'll walk it back.
All right, good.
It's not my type of vibe.
It is sound and fury signifying nothing, but not even that much sound nor fury. It's more like ambiance and filters signifying
quick cuts and
signifying a scene decoration.
I also think this is a movie that suffers from the opening scene being by far the best scene in the movie.
Yeah.
And it's essentially it's a Bauhaus music video, literally.
Oh,
the opening scene of if you've ever heard the Bauhaus song
1983,
Bela Lugosi's Dead.
Makes sense. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So the music video to Bela Lugosi's Dead is the first like 4 minutes of this movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I think David Bowie is quoted because he didn't like how it turned out generally, but then he has a quote where he's like, "Yeah, the first 20 minutes was banging."
Listen, I was a goth kid in the 90s, so I know of Bauhaus.
Wow.
And my version of goth, and that I liked that version, and then I listened to original goth music, and I was like, I don't think I understand this.
I was going to say, I didn't think your mode was Depeche.
No. I am not OG
minutes.
Goth. I am mull goth, if anything.
I see.
For so sure. David Bowie said, the first 20 minutes rattle on like hell. It's a really great opening, but he didn't care for the rest of it.
I'm with him. I feel exactly the same way.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we have Elaine Showalter also commenting on it, which is very interesting stuff. She's talking about like the like sexual sort of tension and how it does depict a lesbian relationship and the sort of like the same desires for lust and power and sex and all of that existing for women, so it is very progressive in that way, but also like is not great at it.
Well, it's like it's two sides of that argument. Is like it's showing like, oh, okay, this is the kind of relationship you'd see between a man and a woman, an older man and a younger woman, probably in most movies. In fact, in a vampire story, almost always,
yeah.
And it's two women who at least appear to be the same age. But then you could also read it as, and it takes a literal monster for that to become normal. Is the other way I could see that being read. Because, Zach, I know I complained that I thought this was going to be a hot, sexy time, and it wasn't as much of a hot, sexy time as I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
But there is a sex scene between Catherine Deneuve and Susan Sarandon.
Right.
That does sound very cool. Yeah.
It is pretty good.
It is sensual. I'll give them that.
Okay.
I was expecting wall-to-wall.
Yeah.
Wall-to-wall bangers, if you will.
1983. Might be asking too much. Well, I don't know.
It's just the way that with the description being love triangle.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And the only time Bowie meets Sarandon is when he's in old face makeup in a hospital and Catherine Deneuve isn't there. It's not a love triangle.
Right.
It's just a series of relationships.
It's a transitory relationship, like A to B, then B to C, but C does not imply A kind of situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Seth, what about that old face?
It's actually pretty good.
On Bowie?
Yeah.
On Bowie.
Actually,
yeah.
I think that the makeup in this...
He's a very gaunt human. I feel like you wouldn't have to do much, maybe.
Right. So,
well, it's tough because we know what old,
David Bowie
withered away
like.
By disease David Bowie looks like.
Right. So I'm sending some photos in the chat.
What did he die of?
I think he had cancer.
Yeah, I think it was like pancreatic or something along those lines.
He always kind of looked like him, though. Like,
yeah, so
he did. That's what I mean. Even at the end, David Bowie looked like David Bowie.
Yeah.
Right. So all of the special effects were done by a Dick Smith.
You know, my father was a Dick Smith.
Yeah.
He had a little shop around the corner.
Call me Dr. Dick.
No, but Dick Smith actually did a whole lot of... He did Death Becomes Her, he did Scanners, right? Like, he's a makeup...
Sure. He won his Oscar for Amadeus, which is heavy old face, and it's all quite good.
Oh my god. Dan Hedaya, the picture you just sent me. I sent
a Dan Hedaya picture when he was really young about 20 minutes ago. And
I didn't scroll down yet. The Dan Hedaya picture looks like the guy who is in Black Mass and is like in a lot of things now. I forget his name.
I don't know. Dan.
I did not see Black Mass.
Oh, it's good.
Dan Hedaya looks real great.
Not Black Mass. What's the fucking, the guy who... Did all the
you Netflix? Talking about Black Mass? Are you talking about Hamish?
Yes,
Linklater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay,
you know what? You know what? I know Hamish Linklater from The New Adventures of Old Christine, the Julia Louis-Dreyfus sitcom.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair.
The
first photo I sent it doesn't look like Bowie, but it does look like an old man.
That is Bowie.
That's Bowie. And then the later one is also Bowie in the makeup. There's the one when he's unfortunately near his death, and then the old man.
The actual real life near his death one just looks like modern day Eric Clapton, which is upsetting.
Wow, it really does.
Yeah, it does. but I think the makeup looks pretty good.
It
looks like a human.
For 1983, that is amazing. Yeah.
That's a thing that, like, movies... There's an era of movies where people in old makeup look good.
Because,
and I think it's, like, black and white movies. And then there's a whole era where it doesn't look good.
Right.
Then it starts to look good again.
You can see it sweating off their faces.
And now I don't think it looks good. But I feel like there was a period where you had SFX artists who were
really...
Well,
I wonder if now the issue is they rely too much on the, like, digital.
Correct. Yes, I think that is exactly the issue, is that they're not doing, like, old school prosthetics and being able to color correct the way. There's all kinds of issues. Anyway, I think the makeup in this, and with the exception of Catherine's death scene, because that looked like horse shit.
Yeah, but that is, like, supposed to be more monstrous, I think.
Yeah, but
she's supposed to look less like a human aging and more like a monster aging.
Like, 1983, like, I guess the movies that I mostly watch from that era are horror movies, and they're mostly low budge, so, like, the makeup looks, you know, bad, because it was cheap, but... Yeah, that first picture of Bowie, he just looks like the guy at the store that I take my lawnmower to get serviced at. If I walked in and somebody was like, that's David Bowie. Right. He's like, you need a filter change, and we got to service the fucking...
God, isn't that... it's crazy that is the exact age of every human being who fixes lawnmowers too.
Yeah.
Like, there has never been a younger or older person fixing a lawnmower, and there never will be.
Yep. No, never.
Yeah. And they just tell you things and you go, I don't know, you look like my grandpa. So I'll pay you whatever you want.
I think the old makeup works really well.
I agree. The oldest version, the last picture you sent, where he's extremely old, is like, you know, it's a bit much, but like that's probably what they were going for.
And there's one even a little further on that sort of looks like the Dracula, the Bram Stoker's Dracula movie.
He's supposed to be like inhuman,
right? And later he looks like a mummy, right? But David Bowie's character is supposed to be more than, I don't know, like 300 years old at this point.
I think part of one of the things in the plot is that Catherine Deneuve is shocked that he only lasted as long as he did, because her previous lovers lasted much longer.
I remember him being like a 18th century virtuoso on the cello, and so, like, he's at least 200-300 years old, so
right. I think that that's like shocking to her that he's only that old.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
when the aging sets in.
Yeah,
he is apparently from 18th century France.
Yes.
So like 250 or something.
So like right around when Barry Lyndon was hanging out, probably.
Well, maybe. He could have. They could have crossed paths. That's a pretty good point there, bud.
Seems fun.
A pretty good point. Fun. Yeah. So,
all I'm saying is there's still plots left on the table that we could pick up.
Oh, we could do a Barry Lyndon, the Hunger crossover.
Some Barry Lyndon connections, actually.
Do you think there's Barry Lyndon fan fiction? Because I spent a lot of time brainstorming a Fast and Furious Ninja Turtles fan fiction the other day.
I'm going to ask you to think that thought one more time in your head. Fucking obviously there is.
Yeah, dude.
Are you kidding me?
What are you talking about?
Barry fucks himself, mostly, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Barry solo masturbation scene, obviously. Every other combination.
I don't know how I feel about him hooking up with the Chevalier, because wow, there are 85 Barry Lyndon stories on Archive of Our Own.
Oh, you had a site ready to go to. Love to see it.
You don't know Archive of Our Own. Like,
I don't, but I wish you would send that to me so I don't forget about it. Thank you.
Yeah. it's famous.
I'm sorry. It appears that Lyndon is a character in the Diablo series, and that's what these stories are about.
Shit.
Man.
Listen, there's gonna be like three, and they're gonna be very in depth.
Wait, on fanfiction.net.
Good.
Hold on, I love that this is
went to the Wayback Machine. Okay.
Oh, someone whose username is Barry Lyndon writes Cthulhu and Twilight fanfiction.
Well, you could probably message them and give them like $1,000, and they'd do anything you wanted.
I mean, I could just do it.
That's true.
What am I going to do with my time?
Sure.
Hey, Lee, look up Redmond Barry and see if you get any different results.
That's an interesting point, yeah.
Yeah,
it depends on sort of when.
In the novel, the Chevalier is his uncle.
So hot right now.
I'm not really into that.
I'm also not my thing, but everyone else seems to really enjoy it, so.
Yeah, okay, hold on. It looks like a lot of Redmond from Anne of Green Gables fanfic. Wait a minute, hold on. Redmond Barry's White Rabbit in sin.files.com.
Okay, if there's Redmond from Anne of Green Gables, then there's very clearly also Barry Lyndon fanfic.
Wait. Question. What about Captain Feeny and Potsdorf?
Okay, there's definitely Captain Feeny stories because he was a real person.
Okay. All right. What about Potsdorf?
Oh, this is just a.
You,
this is
you
just
said
an,
that
an
so
essay.
Matter of factly. Yeah, he's a real person, so definitely yes. Like that makes
this
any
is just
more
an
sense.
Essay, this is just an essay about Barry Lyndon. All right. I think we need to move on from.
Okay. As soon as I buy BarryLyndonHugeCock.com.
Can you send me some requests for who you want to see him fuck? We can.
How much time do you have?
Off mic.
Okay.
Again, Potsdorf. What?
That definitely happened. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Right, but they do play Schubert's Piano Trio in E flat. Which is important.
So the piece of music that plays in the final scene of Barry Lyndon, Zach, where they're signing the bills for the year, and it's all depressing.
Yeah, remember the details.
That is the
of this
piece
movie.
Of music that plays in the second scene of this movie.
Oh wow, they really did blow the load early, didn't they?
Huh. Yeah, they really did. Yeah. Plus David Bowie was actually like miming several famous like cellists during the thing, which they had played the piece.
I was going to say, does he play the cello? It wouldn't be that weird if he did.
He says that he learned
how to... He was doing a very, very good facsimile, but I don't think that he had like the sort of like vibrato that you need to play the piece, and you know, like for like movie quality, right?
His hands were probably
in the right place.
Right.
Exactly.
We've all seen this thing where there are three versions. There is has no fucking idea.
Uh-huh.
Version two is... looked up kind of how to play the instrument and like can fake it enough, and then there's three person actually playing the instrument.
I think that David Bowie learned to the degree that he was able to learn and was miming it in a very effective manner, because it did seem
he was probably like on the edge of two and three,
makes sense.
David Bowie is always edging, so
He's a musician, he knows how to play musical
instruments.
He's always edging
a stringed instrument. love to see it
I don't know. This this movie is really boring. Oh, the director.
I've got it. Right, well, I want to do the novel first.
Really. Steven Spielberg. Sorry, go ahead.
It's not a fun jaunt about a shark when everybody is doing like a bunch of bullshit about I don't know, historical dramas.
It was this one and then E.T.
Yeah. So this is based on a novel called The Hunger by Whitley Strieber.
Yep, Whitley Strieber. Famous.
The reason I bring him up is because he wrote the novel that another Faking Movies episode was based on.
Oh.
The alien abduction movie, Communion, which I don't know if you remember, involves some really horrible creature effects and a really bad Christopher Walken performance.
It's Christopher Walken being abducted by aliens.
So. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. This is a Whitley Strieber story.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Kind of interested in reading the book, but I don't think I'm going to go out of my way to check it out.
Kind of feels like you probably get it at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of Anne Rice-y sort of. I feel like this time period had a lot of that sort of. To use the phrase, the vibe, where you're like having a bunch of depressed goth kids have a story that is sort of meandering but ultimately ends up being a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
with no happy ending, because this doesn't have a happy ending either. Everybody's sort of trapped into their station.
Right. It's a cycle, like Zach, you said, it's the cycle begins again.
Yeah, like biker mice from Mars, where they ride those cycles.
We are back.
Oh, I was wondering where you were going. Yeah,
Mark Sinclair was not that one. That's Street Sharks? Street Sharks, yeah.
Oh, Mark Sinclair and his Street Sharks. A similar vibe, though. Again, vibe.
Mm-hmm. I heard he's going to cross over with the Ninja Turtles soon.
I heard that also in production at TM.
Seth brought up the director. This is the theatrical, at least, film debut of Tony Scott, the brother of Ridley Scott.
Tony is the dead one, right?
Tony is the dead one. He did.
Wow.
He did unlife himself, yes.
Yeah. In the TikTok parlance,
Yes, in the TikTok parlance. Wow. This is his first theatrical movie.
And that's crazy.
I think this movie is really important because of that. Because this movie made, I don't know what it cost, but it made about $10
million. Right.
And
83?
It was was seen as a big disappointment.
Oh.
Yeah.
To the point where he basically ended up, he got his first movie, and then he ends up immediately in, to steal a phrase from other shows, director jail. Mm. And he goes back to, much like Ridley, he made ads before he was a movie director.
Sure.
He goes back to making music videos and ads. And while he's making music videos and ads, he makes this really famous Saab commercial where a Saab is like racing a jet engine.
Oh my. Okay.
And the fucking Jerry Bruckheimer and Don Simpson see this ad and they go back and they watch The Hunger and they're like, "Hey dude, we loved your fucking commercial. We liked your movie. Do you want to direct this propaganda movie for the Navy where a guy who's not really a star yet named Tom Cruise becomes the biggest star in the world?"
Yeah. Oh,
this
movie my fuck.
Is the reason that he directs Top Gun. Because if this movie's successful, he doesn't make Top Gun.
Sure.
He's too successful to make Top Gun.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But this movie, like the shots are all super good. It's just very plodding, but it is so...
Looks good.
It looks great.
It looks like a Tony Scott action movie, except
so
it's a
wild
meditative vampire.
Right.
Erotica.
So there's no action to intersperse with this. It's just quick cuts between just a montage ideas together, but not actually anything happening.
We've seen
which
this...
is why the opening scene looks the best, because it's a literal music
right
video.
Yeah we've seen this before where and again you're in sort of rock hard place situation here where you're like
I'm not in a rock hard place
but like you're
with these three
you can see the first thing where they're just like I will do anything.
Of Susan Sarandon.
I will do literally anything that anyone will pay me to do because I know that there is greatness inside me. And like a lot of directors' first kind of quote unquote
big movies.
That's
how I feel my every day.
Oh, I know. We're just inches away from it.
I'll do anything.
Yeah, right. That's crazy. Was Ridley? I don't know the age. Is Tony younger?
Ridley was already making movies.
I was gonna say he was established, right? I think
this is this is not that far off from when he makes Legend with Tom Cruise.
Right.
So like, which is another failure that almost tanks his career. Yeah, like,
that's fucking wild. And then eventually we get the Green Knight, and then Ridley's just pissed at all the fucking Gen Zers.
He didn't do the Green Knight. No. He did. He did the other one.
King Arthur.
The Last Duel.
Green Knight is fucking great. Green Knight is great. Last Duel was long and tedious. Yeah, and he's like,
I know.
He's like, young people just
The Last Duel. I did not like The Last Duel.
No, that movie was nothing. And he was just like, young people are ruining the movie industry. And everybody's like, Ridley, you're ruining the movie industry.
Well,
you
Napoleon coming out soon, so we'll see what happens there.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, that is a wild background story. I like that.
There's a chance that if this movie succeeds, Top Gun, as we know it, doesn't happen.
Tom Cruise, maybe it doesn't happen.
And if that doesn't happen, Tom Cruise and Top Gun Maverick don't save movies, as Steven Spielberg said to Tom Cruise on some red carpet.
Hugged and whispered in his ear, yeah. And we don't get 14 fucking Mission Impossible movies. The world is different as we know it, for sure.
It's a different world if this movie is a runaway success.
Yeah, that's wild. That's really fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that.
I don't know. I don't have much else to say.
I think that's it. It's like, this is, I'd say look up the music video to Bela Lugosi's Dead, because it gives you a snapshot of the best things about this movie.
Agreed.
Sure. Bauhaus is a difficult band to like, but
yeah.
As a person who generally likes that kind of music, they are challenging.
It's a cross to bear.
I saw another thing where there was like every modern like metal band, and it had like one very normal looking guy being like, "Oh yeah, I do the backup vocals, all of the rhythm guitar. I play the drums. I'm doing the keyboard. I'm like doing the bass line at the same time." And then there's like this jacked goth looking guy that was like, "I'm the most racist person that you've ever encountered in your life."
So you're speaking specifically of Pantera and basically every hardcore band from Long Island. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Right. So like, there's like a bunch of super talented people, and then their front men are just absolute horseshit.
Yeah.
That reminds me of a video I just saw of Danzig talking about how much he didn't like Sinead O'Connor. This is from the 90s. It's not like new, but yeah.
Danzig he's a unique case study, but yeah, he's got his own problems for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into ratings, I suppose. IMDb with 28,000 votes is a 6.6.
Okay. The number of the beast ish.
Well, almost, I guess, if you add a power of 10. But, all right, Lee, you want to go first or should I?
I'll go first. The real movie was fine. Not for me. I think it suffered from expectations.
Fair.
4.
Okay.
Zach, I'm going to grade all 8 of yours in a row here.
Oh, okay. Did you take notes?
No. I don't have a
3D spreadsheet, but okay, go ahead.
Obviously don't remember all of them. So your actual movie I quite liked. It's a great message. Seemed like a good kind of thing to put on TV and just let it play in the background. Yeah. So I'll give you 7.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That seems like the amount of effort that I put into that version of the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw Barbie and I went, hang on.
Hang on. Let's have a coming of age story.
Yep.
Sort of. All right. So the OG is, it's pretty. It's pretty until the last like 20 minutes where I'm very, very bored. I'm bored the entire time, let's be honest. After the first 20 minutes, I'm very bored.
What was the runtime, by the way?
Too long.
Critically long? Okay.
Yeah, it was like two hours, maybe 2 hours 10. It was longer than it should.
No, it's 98 minutes
long. Wait, for real?
Yeah.
Holy shit, it felt way...
Felt like a full Barry Lyndon?
Oh, it felt so long. Let me
confirm.
And I was watching it at 1.25 because everyone's dialogue was so...
You do that thing. It is wild. Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's not 98 minutes long. It's 97 minutes long.
I thought that it was like a 2 hours thing, and I was like, "Good God, I'm so bored."
So you watched it 1.5. So it took you 65 minutes, and you thought it was like full 2.5 hours.
Okay. I really did. Granted, I was doing other things at the time for my main gig, but still, holy shit.
I like that you calling that your main gig in conversation with our show implies that this is part of what makes you money.
Like, yeah, it does from our t-shirt sale.
The show is like an old Subaru. It only costs money.
All right, so, wow, I didn't realize it was as short as it was, because, holy shit, it was,
Yeah. It feels long.
97 at 1.5 is, like, literally less than an hour.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It was a little tedious. Yeah. And the thing is that I didn't notice until the last 20 minutes it mattering that it was at 1.5. There never was enough things happening or people talking fast enough that...
Yeah, there's a lot of lingering moments.
There's so many. Oh my God, they're just like fucking sitting. I'm going to slowly walk down a hallway while I act old.
Is your score going to be influenced by the 1.5? Are you going to put that into your calculation for your score?
Yeah, the score is a 3 times 1.5. So add that into the calculation.
So 4.5. Understood. Yes.
That's not what it... All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, 3 times 1.5 is...
Did you want me to subtract 1.5? Or what was the math there?
Logarithmic. Please.
Okay. Well, I'll figure that out later. Yeah. We don't do those episodes anymore where we tally up the shit, so it's fine. I don't know why I even keep track of this shit anymore.
Oh, we should have an episode like that.
I was, not to derail, I was scrolling down through the spreadsheet today and I saw the roulette score and I was like, oh my God, we haven't done a roulette episode since the millennium.
Since episode 20.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, it was cursed. Don't get me wrong. Oh, it was a cursed episode.
But... Hey, we have 2 episodes till 269.
We could.
We do have to do something special, huh?
Roulette was fun in its time.
Zach, for you.
I think the key is no guest.
Sure.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Zach, for you, I am going to give you, because it's a fun coming of age story. It's very,
Zach Prey Come.
Oh, interesting. That sounds like a different thing, but that's fine. That's fine. I'm at 1.5 times. I'm gonna give you a 6.9.
I can't do that math.
So is this times or is this log again?
6.9. No. That's over 10. Okay. At 1.5.
Okay. Hold on. 6.9 times 1.5.
Yes.
Yeah, it's 10.35.
Yeah, that's fine.
You I've gotten yelled at about this before, you can't.
You get a 10.35.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
I've tried to give more than 10 before, and I've gotten shouted down.
I'm going to put a 10 in there, and then in the next one, I'm going to put a parentheses 10.5.
Yeah.
10.35. Yeah.
So you rounded up. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it should be a 9. That's fair. That's fair.
Zach, what if you just add the 0.35 to everything in the future? Like the next one you fake.
I don't even know what the fuck we're doing anymore.
So speaking of the future, what's up next?
Yeah, what's next?
We are doing a movie that Seth might know, might not, called
I think I do.
My Life in Ruins.
Yeah.
Yep.
The great advantage of this movie is I've already watched it.
You do do that to us a lot.
Yeah, you
when,
do that a
when
lot.
When you do this thing, you're like, oh, I've already seen it. And then when Seth and I pick a movie, it's fucking Holy Motors. And we're like, oh, God, I want to die. Oh, I want to
yeah.
die.
Yeah. or it's Night on Earth, where it's exactly the same fucking thing.
Sure, yeah.
Lee, you really can ruin this?
Yeah.
Do you want to, can we just like consider it that I'm doing homework for the show, and when I find something that will work, I suggest
I don't like that.
You just, it feels like you're rubbing in our dumb faces a lot.
Yeah, we are very dumb and don't watch as many movies. That's the problem, is I don't watch as many movies.
I guess maybe be more unemployed, guys. I don't know.
Well,
I think.
I can triple that.
That feels like a cut to me. I don't know.
Oh, fuck. I want to die.
Does anybody have another thing? I think I kind of fucked it. I don't know.